You may be seated. Again, want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I've titled my message this morning, Living Peacefully. And I don't think there's any one of us here this morning that don't like peace. I'm one that does not like turmoil. I love peace. So when there's turmoil, Mary does too. When there's turmoil, there's something within me that just does not set well. We've been looking at the Beatitudes. This morning we're going to look at Matthew 5, verse 9. That Beatitude says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." You know, back in the days of the Old West, please don't go around telling people that Lynn's talking about cowboys and robbers. But back in the days of the Old West, the cowboys had something that they needed. It was their horse. This was their mode of transportation. If the cowboy didn't have a horse to go around to collect the cattle, to brand them, to rope them, and to send them on in shipment, he wasn't considered a real cowboy. But there was a counterpart to the cowboys. And that was the gunslingers, the gunfighters, those that did the robbing, those that destroyed things when they were trying to round up the cattle. They also had a mode. Not their transportation, but there's something else that they used. There's a saying from the Old West that says, "The Lord made some men big and some men small, but Sam Colt made all men the same size." Those of you who know who Sam Colt was the one who created the gun, the Colt. He was the one that came up with the Colt, the six shooter. It was also said that in his hands, as far as the outlaw goes, in his hands it was a tool, a tool of justice and destruction. Judge Colt and his jury of six. What's that got to do with our message this morning? This gun was called the 1873 Peacemaker. Now I want us to think about that for a bit this morning. They used the gun for their peacemaking. We would never consider doing that this morning. None of us here this morning would want to take a gun and use it to try to create peace. Would it create peace? No, it'd create havoc. It'd create difficulties. But I guess I'm asking us this morning, we're not using a gun. And I'm coming in here with a negative point right at the beginning, not something I like to do. But I want to ask you a question this morning. We're not using the gun to make peace. We're not using what they used back in the Old West. But what we are using from time to time, ask yourself this question. Are my peacemaking skills any different than what they used in the Old West? We're not killing people. But friends, we kill the spirit. I hope you hear where I'm at this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Today, as believers, we're called to be peacemakers. What is a peacemaker? It's one who tends to promote peace. It's a peace that can only be found in one who has true humility. And it's interesting, this verse, peacemaker, that he's using here in Matthew 5, 9, this is the only place in Scripture where he uses this specific peace. We're not going to stay with that this morning. We're going to venture out a little further than just this verse. But we want to look this morning at a peacemaker. We want to look this morning at what it is to live a life of peace. Our theme is making God's name great. It's reflecting His love to the community. And I guess I ask this question. Can the community where I associate with, can they feel the peace that's coming from me? Is there a peace amongst the brotherhood that they have desire to come check us out? We want to be a reflection of Christ to the community. But we want to be a peacemaker here at home. 1 Corinthians 13:5 has a phrase in it that I want us to think about this morning. 1 Corinthians 5 says this, "Doth not," it's talking about love here, but it says, "Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, seeketh not her own." A peacemaker is one who does not seek their own way. I look back at my week this past week, and I think a little bit about how did I respond to what somebody said to me. Did I respond in a negative way? Did I come across as, "I know it and you don't"? Or did I come across as a peacemaker? Maybe I know what I'm saying, but for the sake of peace, I'm going to love you and give you the opportunity, the benefit of the doubt. Maybe I didn't know what I was saying, and because of somebody coming and sharing with me, I learned something new. And it brought peace. We were able to associate. A peacemaker is not one who seeks his own way. The peacemaker here in Matthew is one who seeks the best of others. I've got two verses here I'd like for us to read in Romans 5. 1, the first verse says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Some verses for us just to think about. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14, "For He is our peace." There's our source, isn't it? "He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," talking about the Jew and the Gentiles, the differences there, and taking away that middle wall and bringing peace. He is our peace. A peacemaker is one who strives for unity, the state of togetherness. So many times we see people that are talking about peace, and all it's doing is driving in wedges because they're trying to get their own way. But a peacemaker is really striving for unity, striving for togetherness and working together as a body, specifically the church. They strive to live in harmony with their neighbors. A peacemaker is one who's willing to accept hurt without creating a fight. We looked at the beatitude, "Blessed are the meek," those who have power under control. Those can be good peacemakers, the meek. They find their strength, they find their belonging in the Father. Romans 12:18 tells us, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." But then the question comes, did Jesus come to promote peace? Did Jesus come to promote peace? Let's look at a couple of scriptures here real quick. I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 12. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 12, verse 51, I want to read a verse out of Matthew 10. Luke 12, verse 51. Matthew 10 says this. It says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Then if we go on to Luke chapter 12, verse 51 through 53. Here he says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather divisions. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." But it's important that we look at context here. The context here is Jesus' words, and he's speaking about divisions that are going to come, even among family members, over belief and over lack of belief. Those things are going to happen. But the peace that we're talking about this morning is the peace that we are sharing with others, the peace that we receive within. So yes, Jesus came to bring division, but it's in a different context. He came to bring peace. He is the essence of peace, I guess we'd say. Most of what he tells us, I think I said this already, but I'm going to repeat it again. But most of what Jesus tells us in Scripture about peace is how to live out peace that he's referring to in Matthew 5, 9, the beatitude that we just talked about. I missed one evidently in one of my slides there. Is there another slide between Isaiah 26 and Ephesians 2? Maybe it's after that. Is there one with Psalm 29:11? No? Okay. I missed one here. That's okay. There's a verse in Psalm 29:11 that says, "The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." Our source, again, of peace. The strength that it gives to us as believers, how He blesses us. It's a blessing that's beyond value, something we can't put a price tag on. God designed it for His own children. Psalm 119:165 says this, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, nothing shall cause them to stumble." Another verse in Psalm 85, verse 8 says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly." We hear His voice. We hear the power that's in His voice, what He's going to do. And there's times that His voice is strong with rebuke. And we like to think within ourselves, that's not peace. But as we hear and as we heed, we sense His love continue to come through to us. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." The three words I want us to see here. We're not going to spend much time here, but just three words I'd like to pick out real quick. Thou wilt keep, that's the first word, him in perfect peace. Keep is as a guardian, it's a military term. It's that as guarding with a garrison, a military term, to set up troops around. Think about this verse. Jesus will keep us in perfect peace, and He surrounds us. I like to think about a military group, or maybe angels around us, but He surrounds us in peace. Whose mind is stayed on Thee. The idea of stayed here is for somebody that is leaning on somebody else. So I'm surrounded by His care, by His love, and I'm leaning on Him. That's the stayed. Because He trusteth in Thee. Because my confidence is in Him. My hope is in Him. And I challenge you with this verse today. Is this me? Is this you? Is my mind stayed on the Father? Am I really trusting in Him? Am I just freely going through life, not really paying attention to what's happening? Or am I focused on Him? There's a verse in John 16, verse 33, and you do not have to turn to this, but I want you to think about this verse also. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He has overcome the world. We can be part of the Overcomers Club. He has given us this peace. He has overcome for us to be a part of that ministry. To be a part of His kingdom. And how many of us, I'm talking about each one of us here this morning, you check your own hearts. How many of us are not part of the Overcomers Club because we want to live for ourselves? We would rather have our own way instead of being willing to work for peace. Am I part of the Overcomers Club this morning? Satan has a way of getting us to question the peace we can have when Jesus has clearly offered this peace to us. Now, I'd like for you to turn this morning to Mark 4:35. We're going to be looking at a story here. And it's guaranteed that the storms of life are going to come. Chris and Gina, the storms of life are going to hit your marriage. It's going to happen. I wish I could tell you this morning, Saturday you're getting married, it's all going to be beautiful from here on out. But the storms of life are going to get you. That's part of life. But it's not the end. Each one of us here this morning, there's storms that happen within our lives. We can look back at things that happened this week in our lives. Storms that happened this week in our lives. Did they get us down, or were they stepping stones for us to go a little further? Peace doesn't mean there will be no storms, but peace is knowing that we are anchored securely. Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. They were on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had just got done teaching. His disciples were with him here. And he was tired. He said, let's go to the other side. Let's get into the boats. And it says there was a couple other boats with him here in the next verse, I believe. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I can only imagine. I've never been on a ship when this happened, and I don't want to be. I don't like the ocean. But here they were. This wasn't the ocean. This was the Sea of Galilee. But they're going across on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden here comes this storm. And it beat on the ship, and the water started coming into where the ship was almost full. How many times have I faced storms where I thought, my ship is full, I'm going to sink? There's some good answers for us in here. Let's go a little further. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. How many times have I faced the storm and thought, Jesus, where are you? I'm in the midst of this storm. Are you asleep? Jesus was asleep. He was on a pillow, it says. He was tired. He was in the back of the ship sleeping. Last Sunday, I preached at our Geigler reunion. And I shared a little bit about Jesus, how He delights in us. And I'm not sure what my point was exactly, but afterwards, Uncle Ray came up to me. And he said, I challenge you with something. Yes, Jesus is there to help us. But he said, there's something we need to do. Let's see what happened here. And they awake him in verse 38 and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says this. And it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He told me last Sunday, he says, you need to ask. Jesus knows our needs, but he wants to hear from us. Here the disciples were in the boat. Jesus was asleep. And finally, after the boat was full, they went back and they woke him. Carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you know that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? How many times in life am I facing battles? Well, I'm grabbing another bucket. The boat's starting to fill up. I'm grabbing another bucket and I'm trying to bail out faster. I'm trying to bail out faster when Jesus is in the same boat and he's waiting for us just to say, can you help me? I think it's good for us to think about the fact this morning, Jesus is in our boat. He's there with us. The trials that we can face on our own and we can sink. Or we can take those trials that come our way, the storms that come our way, and we can call on Him. I faced a big storm this past week. I spend a lot of time outside at night, begging God. Asking God for help. You know what? He came. The storm was still there, but the peace that was here hadn't been there before. Yeah, I had it before, but I was losing out. But when we come to the Father, we start begging and we start asking Him, Father, can you step in? Can you help us? All of a sudden, the peace returns. The storm's still there. But the peace comes in and He carries us through the storm. Here we have the storm ceased. I wish it was that way for all of us all the time. That the storm totally ceases. It's totally calm. But it's not always that way. But it is always that Jesus is there. He's in the same boat you are if you're walking with Him. Call on Him. Don't be scared to call on Him. Please call on Him. Get that peace that you need to make it through the storm. He will carry you. Two verses I want to read real quick here that just really spoke to my heart this morning or last night as I was studying. When thou liest down, Proverbs 3:24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. I love that verse. That's a verse of peace. A verse that He's come within, and now I can sleep, and it feels so good, I'm getting rest. Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. In these trials that we face, that we can truly live out peace. What are some peace robbers? Let's look really quick at a few peace robbers. And these peace robbers we're going to talk about are very, very real. And I'm going to guess that every one of us here this morning, if I were to ask, are these peace robbers that have tried to destroy your peace, you'd probably raise your hand. The first two we want to think about is worry and fear. The what ifs in life. You know, something I struggled with for so long, kind of embarrassing to say this, but no, it's not. My wife used to do Tupperware a long time ago. She probably doesn't even know this. But she used to do Tupperware a long time ago. And she would go to different towns in the evening because the evening is when they have their Tupperware parties. And she would leave, and specifically on those cold winter nights, the what ifs started bugging me. What if she slides off the road? What if somebody else hits her? What if she doesn't come home? The what ifs. Peace robbers. Fear. Look at these verses here. These verses of comfort. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. These are the answers to our worry and fear. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Fear, worry, go to God. And the peace of God, I see this as a promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Hallelujah, I love that. Let's look at another one. Two more. Shame, regret. Bad choices. Things we said wrongly. Things we shouldn't have said at all. Things we did when we were younger. Things that hold us bound because of shame, regret within. Things that hold us bound because we haven't yet come to the place where we get realize that they're forgiven, they're gone. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The shame, the regret that we face, bring them again to the Father. If they've been confessed and forgiven, realize that there is no more a condemnation. Satan can no longer hold you under those. But you've been set free. Ouch. This one hits me probably harder than any of these. And I'm guessing for a lot of you too. Busyness. We're taught as a Mennonite people, as an Amish people, to work. That's good. We're taught to be industrious. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's one thing that I'm afraid that we miss. And I think we need to look at that this morning. And that is we become so busy that those around us suffer. That the peace in our homes disappear. The peace that should be there is no longer there. Because time, there's just not enough. My family suffers. My ministry suffers. My neighbor suffers. I should be helping him. Don't have time. My health suffers. But there's one thing that doesn't suffer. My finances. Because I'm so busy, I'm struggling, or maybe just striving for another dollar in the bank. See how much more I can get. My finances are doing quite well. But spiritually, physically, emotionally, and relationally, there's pain. There's no peace. Another joy robber, peace robber. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I have 28 here. I'm going to read verse 30 also. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is telling us here, bring your, I don't know if I want to call busyness or what it is, but come to me and tie in with me. And I will show you how to live this life. I was going through a time in San Antonio where we didn't have a church body there. We had a small body. There was another family that was meeting with us. And there were times of loneliness. But I got to the place where I asked God, I said, what next? What do you want of us next? We're here, we're ministering. We've got a neighborhood that's beginning to be interested in what we're believing in, the Word of God. And I was trying to build a business to try to support myself. And I asked God, I said, what do you want? What's the next step? You know, I'd have been happy if He'd have said, put out another ad. Get some more work. But that's not what I heard. What I heard was, I want you. I want your time. You know, I found it was so precious when I listened to God. I got up early in the morning and I would spend my time reading and fellowshipping with the Father. And it was a beautiful time. It was a time of growth. But I couldn't destroy the peace in our home by going out and trying to make that other dollar. Trying to dig just a little bit deeper. Busyness, it gets us, doesn't it? Here's our answer. To be a peacemaker, we must know the Prince of Peace. To be a peacemaker in our community, to reach out to those around us, and to be able to help them know what peace is, we first of all have to have that peace within inside us. Within inside us, that didn't make sense. We need to have that peace within us. And unless that peace is there, we can't give to somebody else what God hasn't given us or what we haven't taken. Three more verses I want to read and then we'll close. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And now the final verse I want to read is on the little papers that you have. It says Hebrews 12:14. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. So I guess my prayer this morning is, seek peace. Seek to be a peacemaker. Seek to live out that peace in our everyday walk. There's people that are watching our walk. Is it a peaceful walk? Or is it a walk that is so difficult that they have no desire, no interest? What a challenge. Let's stand for prayer. Father, again this morning we thank you for the peace that you give, the Prince of Peace. Just thank you so much, Father, that when the storms of life hit us, that you're there. You're waiting on us to call on you. Thank you, Lord, for the times where you have carried us through. Where your peace flooded our soul, flooded our hearts. And we knew you were there. Forgive us, Father, for the times when we tried to bail ourselves out on our own. Lord, we need you. We desire your love, your companionship. We know, Lord, you desire us. We just bless you. Help us, Father, this morning to search our own hearts. Allow you to shape us and mold us in the way you want us. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.